The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC. Steve Nichols, Sebastian Salazar with you. Stevie, lots to get to in the show. Very dramatic ending in the German Cup semifinals between RB Leipzig and Werder Bremen, plus a Sunday trip to Old Trafford for Liverpool. You feeling good about it?
You kidding?
No?
Petrified.
We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Let's welcome in a trio of analysts set to join us here on ESPN FC today. There they are, Craig Burley, Jan Agafjortoff, Shaka Hislop. Guys, just one match in the Premier League on Friday. Southampton-Leicester City playing to a 1-1 draw. Southampton playing with 10 men for most of this match. Vestergaard sent off after a tackle on Jamie Vardy early on. Goals from James Ward-Prowse for Southampton from the penalty spot. A few minutes after that, Johnny Evans gets the equalizer for Leicester City. What does it mean for the table? Well, the draw keeps Leicester City very comfortably in third place. An 8-point gap to fifth. 5 games to go for pretty much everybody else in the league. 4 to go for Leicester City. Let's start with the moment at the beginning of this match where Southampton goes down to 10 men. Vestergaard, deserving of a red card there for you?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't have given a foul.
Not a foul?
Not even a foul.
I mean, his studs are up, he goes through the player.
Sometimes his studs weren't up. I've told you that 5 times already. Sometimes in a football match, there are challenges. And unfortunately, on occasion, somebody catches it. That doesn't mean it's a red or a yellow or a foul even. And that's the case in this one. You know, Vestergaard is absolutely spot on with the way he challenged. His left foot's planted, it's behind him. He stretched his leg out. He's clearly got the ball first. And then a split second later, Jamie Vardy appears. In my opinion, Jamie Vardy gets caught because he's late. I don't think Vestergaard's done anything wrong whatsoever. It is a horrendous decision.
Craig, you agree?
And he actually gets sent off for denying a goal-scoring opportunity because the PGOM MOL come out and said it was because he denied Jamie Vardy getting to the ball now after the touch from Vestergaard, which he clearly got. So I think that's a nonsense as well. But listen, once Vestergaard makes a bad touch, and it was all down to him, what's he supposed to do? When people out there will say, well, you know, just because you play the ball these days, I mean, I get it. If you play the ball coming in with a two-footed lunge, then you just can't do that. But you are still allowed to make a tackle, aren't you, in the edge of your own 18-yard box when you're trying to remedy a mistake you've made? And that's what he did. And he got that big long leg out and he made a good challenge. And as Stevie said, Jamie Vardy was trying to get to the ball first. He got there second. He was collateral damage from the challenge, which was low. There's no other way you can go into that challenge. You can't put your studs anywhere else. And then the debate was whether he was going to get the ball or not. So I personally thought it was another nonsense decision.
Craig, as far as the game itself concerned, will Leicester City be disappointed to drop points here, especially given the context of the collapse they had a year ago?
I think they'll be disappointed in the sense that in the last league meeting in late 2019, down in the South Coast, when Ryan Bertrand was sent off after 12 minutes at that time, they lost 9-0 Southampton. But I think, you know, we talk about learning lessons for Leicester of last year. I think Southampton learned a lesson. Ralph Hasenhüttl, who closed up shop this time and did a very good job of it. But look, it's another point towards the top four. Personally, I think the top four is set the way it is because I think Chelsea look too strong. Most people would see Leicester as a vulnerable team. The only thing is West Ham in particular have a really good run in. So I think another point in the quest to get Leicester back in the Champions League. It's not a disaster and it's not ideal.
Shaka, 8-point gap for Leicester City right now to fifth. Is it enough?
I think it is. Right now, without question, it's enough. Given the games that obviously they still have to play, I feel Leicester arrested the slide of a few weeks ago. And yeah, as somebody kind of as a neutral, that is another point towards a top four finish. If you're a Leicester fan or you're sitting in that dressing room against a Southampton team that have been very poor of late and down to 10 men after 10 minutes, you can't help but feel it's 2 points dropped, an easy 2 points dropped. But for us sitting in studios like this one, it's another point in the right direction for Leicester.
Jan, given what we saw last year, any concerns for Leicester?
No, I think they've learned their lessons, and I think they will also have a look on the table at it. Yes, West Ham 8 points away, but I think that more realistically you should have a look at Liverpool. Liverpool 9 points behind them and the worst goal difference. So I think this was a point in the right direction. I just feel that West Ham, although they have a so-called easy run or easier run than the rest of the teams, I think that West Ham is a team that more is better when they're playing the better teams, because they will be happy with a European spot. So when we'll see that, we will see West Ham playing Burnley, Everton, Brighton, West Brom, Southampton. But there are no easy games now. And Chelsea, I agree with Craig. I think we have set the top four as we have now. And what a feeling it could be for Manchester United and kind of knock Liverpool out of the Champions League on Sunday. There is a big chance that that will happen because of this point.
Speaking of the top four race, Stevie, as we mentioned off the top of the show, Liverpool visits Manchester United on Sunday. You've been very down last couple months, really, on Liverpool's top four chances.
Yep.
But if they are going to make a run, forget getting there, even just make a run close to it, must win Sunday, correct?
Oh, 100%. The only problem with that is you have to figure out how it's going to happen. And the way Liverpool have been playing, the way Liverpool have been attacking sides, the way Liverpool have been defending, I can't come up with too many reasons why Liverpool can go to Old Trafford and beat Manchester United. You know, they can't string two results together, Liverpool. They got one win in the last five. I'm listening to Klopp talking today about having 36 chances in the last three games and scoring two goals. And saying, well, that shows there's a problem. I mean, even if you half that in two and say they're really good chances, 18 and they're putting two away. My goodness, a miracle's going to have to happen at Old Trafford. And do we expect Manchester United to not put Liverpool defence under pressure? And Liverpool's defence, when it's put under pressure, and since Christmas, has absolutely capitulated.
That said, I mean, United can be had. Surely we saw it in the first half against Roma midweek. That must give you some confidence.
Well, there was a period when Roma were cutting them up, because they cut them up two or three times. Mm-hmm. They got two goals. I'm thinking, well, there's a possibility. But then reality struck when you see how powerful they were going forward. You know, they've got everything. They got the pace with Rashford. You got the guile with Pogba's in the middle of everything good for United now. Hernandez. And, of course, you got Cavani, who is just a master at his craft. So, my goodness, everything's pointing towards a Manchester United win.
Craig,
it could happen. It's not likely.
Craig, United's certainly the favourites here, yeah?
Yeah, and I don't think you should be mentioning Roma, Sebi, when they got pulverised 6-2. It's like, just because they created one or two chances.
It was 2-1
you know,
at the half, no?
Well, yeah, but the last time I checked, games didn't end at half-time. They ended at full-time, and it was 6-2. Otherwise, we'll just play 45 minutes and then say, who's leading? United are strong at the moment, particularly going forward. I, like Stevie, have zero confidence in Liverpool at the moment. Their season has been so disrupted with injuries and players moving out of position, and the front line haven't been anywhere near as hot as they have been. I think, you know, if you could just take the whole season for Liverpool and throw it in the bucket, I think Klopp would. But the worst thing that could happen here is in general, is just going in the Europa League. Because Steve and I were talking about it the other day, the old Thursday-Monday scenario, and some of the trials and tribulations of where they're going to have to go. I don't even think they want that. If there was a way they could drop out of everything altogether, I think that would be the best thing. But that's difficult to do. But I struggle to see a Liverpool win here, and they absolutely need it. They don't get it. They're done and dusted. But I just can't see it happen. United going forward have looked strong. They've looked creative. Yeah, you can get the odd chance against them, but as Stevie pointed out, Liverpool haven't been taking their chances. So I only see a good result for Manchester United here.
Craig, United get a win here. They're pretty much a lock for second place. Good shot at the Europa League title. Is that a pretty good season for Ole?
It's okay. Nothing changes. Mourinho delivered second place, and Mourinho delivered the Europa League. So, look.
And he celebrated it. And he celebrated it a lot.
Ultimately, well, yes. Well, he's trying to convince people that that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Look, ultimately for Manchester United, what they need to do, and this club has the same standards as the Liverpools and the Cities and the Chelseas, is continually finish in second or third in the top four, isn't good enough. Now, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the moment has done enough to be going again at it next year, and they may go and buy somebody. They need to go and get themselves a Harry Kane or an Erling Haaland or somebody if they are going to catch these teams. But, yeah, I mean, it's not a disaster. Second place, they've played some decent stuff. But ultimately, you're not going to be successful as a Man United manager unless you deliver the Champions League or you deliver the Premier League. Mm. And, you know, that's not easy.
Jan, second in the Europa League, would that be enough for Ole?
Well, when Sir Alex Ferguson arrived, they hadn't won anything since 1968, so that's been happening before Manchester United. But I think the main thing, and we saw that in the semi-finals as well, I think the main thing for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was, first of all, to take this semi-final losing thing out of his system. Now, he can take that back. I agree with Craig that you have to win Champions League or the league title to be a legend manager at Manchester United. But at the stage where they are now, if you have a look at the table, if you see all the teams that now can get into Champions League, I must say that to get top four, and if they could win a title now, I mean, that would be another step for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And I think then they can take it from there. And then they have to get players in. Although now, I think one of the most successful things with Manchester United now, you can see how they want to play. There will be times under Ole Gunnar, if you haven't seen how they want to play, they've got results, yes, but now you can see how they want to do it. In a good time now, they get players in form. I think Pogba has been very good lately and so on. But for Manchester United, with the standards they do have, Europa League is not the most important thing, but at this stage for Ole Gunnar as a manager, it's a great sign and take them into the next season, and then they have to add people there because they need different type of players in there. We'll see now today there was a report that Cavani probably will stay for another season, but maybe they will need another striker. They need maybe a guy like Sancho on the right taking on people and so on, and they need a central defender to even have an idea to compete for any of the big titles.
All right, Shaka, who you got on Sunday? You giving Liverpool any kind of shot?
No. In all honesty, I'm with the boys on this one. Given a lot of Liverpool struggles over recent seasons, given how good Manchester United have been for the last couple of months, I think their only loss came to Leicester in the Cup, and that's going back to mid-January, I think it is. I just feel Manchester United right now are a well-oiled machine. The only argument I can make for Liverpool is that this is a far bigger game for them, given their struggles, given United successes, but I nothing football-wise convinces me that Liverpool gets anything out of this.
Manchester United, Liverpool then on Sunday. Here's a look at the rest of the weekend schedule. Four games Saturday, starting with Crystal Palace and Manchester City. Three on Sunday ahead of a doubleheader on Monday.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
RB Leipzig advancing to the German Cup final Friday thanks to a 2-1 extra time victory over Werder Bremen. Emil Forsberg with the game-winning goal in the 120th minute. Leipzig heading to their second ever German Cup final. Jan Agafjordtoft still with us here on ESPN FC. Jan, this was a terrible game for 90 minutes and brilliant for 30.
Yeah, fantastic extra time. And it was a very important game for Julian Nagelsmann after going for 25 million euro and he's 12 years of age, going to the big Bayern Munich. And for him today to get into the cup final, maybe go into that dressing room of Bayern with a trophy in his pocket, just go in there with all these players around him, that would have helped him. The problem with Leipzig, and you saw the same today, is that the lack of a goal-getter, where Dortmund will have Haaland, when Bayern Munich would have Lewandowski, when Weghorst will play for Wolfsburg and Silva for Frankfurt, they don't have a striker. And you saw that today, struggling. Wang gave them 1-0, but Bittencourt, born in Leipzig, do the 1-1. And then, at the end, the player he normally used to play like a false number nine, Emil Forsberg, getting the goal at extra time of extra time. So you saw the relief in Julian Nagelsmann's face. He needed this one because there, of course, been a lot of attention for a so young manager going for that transfer fee to the mighty Bayern Munich. Mm.
Jan, you mentioned the lack of a striker there for RB Leipzig. Jesse Marsh, the American, set to take over once Nagelsmann leaves. Do they need a striker? Is that then the priority for Jesse Marsh?
I think it will, because Sørloth and Paulsen, they are hard-working, disciplined strikers, but they don't give you enough goals. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine who said maybe they could solve it. They could just take Timo Werner back from Chelsea. He will be struggling there. He was scoring goals for fun in Leipzig. I think that he will get another preseason, another season to prove himself at Chelsea. But I think that Jesse Marsh will have a look at the table. He will have a look what he is lacking compared with the competitors up there. You need someone, and he'd have to go for one of the big ones. And with all the money now they're taking in, and it's a new start now for Jesse Marsh and RB Leipzig, and a great goal scorer, because strikers they do have, but they need a goal scorer.
Jan, in the cup final, Leipzig will get the winner between Dortmund and Holstein Kiel out of the second tier. Dortmund, you expect them to be in the final. If they win that final, is the German Cup enough to call it a successful season if, as right now it looks, they miss out on the top four?
No, I don't think so. The main thing is for them to get into the Champions League. Having said that, if they should, we should get a dream final now, but having said that, Holstein Kiel, it could be tricky as well, but you have a look at the table, you see them going, and next game they're playing Leipzig, so they can beat in the final in the Bundesliga, but they need to get into those top four. Remember, this is a team that should challenge Bayern Munich, but if they could get a win, if they can get a top four in the quarterfinal of a Champions League, they somehow save their season, but they have to learn from this, because the balance in the team, it can't be that the youngest players should be the leaders on the pitch. They need to step up with Can, Royce, or Hummels back there to take the next step. And then we'll see if Marco Rose, the new coach, will bring some new ideas in and take them closer to Bayern Munich, because that's what it's all about. For them now to have to nail-biting because of Frankfurt, who is on the top four, that is under their level.
You see Erling Haaland there on the graphic. You can also find him in our list of the 39 best players under the age of 21. Find that over on the website. And the other semifinal, Dortmund against Holstein Kiel of the second tier, Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, streaming live on the ESPN app and on TV, ESPN News.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
You're not getting away with that in today's game. Certainly not with VAR. You know, when it's slowed down, it looks even worse than it probably is. But there's no question. There was a little bit of malice in it. You don't throw your... He threw his whole body behind that. He knew exactly what he was doing. But as I said, in my day, in Don's day, that's not even a foul. Today, it's a red card. Referees are going to give red cards for that every single time. And what they'll tell you is, you're endangering your opponent. And you can't argue with that.
Fabian Balbuena's red card for West Ham against Chelsea last Saturday. Would we know it has been overturned? Stevie, you were adamant, obviously, in that clip that it was a red. What do you think about the decision from the FA then?
Well, I don't think they understand football, man, or footballers. You know, you can go for a challenge, yes, but there are ways to do it. And if you're going to follow through, you certainly can't follow through with your whole... Look at his left leg. It carries through as well. He's thrown his whole body into that. He knows exactly what he's doing. There's absolute malice in it. No question. Mm. And that's why it's a red card.
So for you, it comes down to the intent then, the malice, as you say.
Absolutely. Listen, there can be challenges and somebody can sometimes get hurt. Mm-hmm. But if one party is going to hurt the other one, which I think Balbuena was, then it's a red card.
Craig, do you agree? Do you see malice in that challenge from Balbuena?
No, I'm going to go the other way. Sodom. Sodom. He's just been stubborn. He doesn't want to change his mind. That's all it is.
Oh, nothing to do with being correct. No, correct doesn't matter.
No, but I think that I agree with Stevie that back in his days, and he was one of the best tacklers around, that would never be, maybe a yellow. And I also agree that sometimes there is a lot of people in the VAR bus, referees who don't know they know the rules, but they don't know football. I agree on that. But for me, that is not a red card. I think that we should. I'm not sure that he, or I'm 100% sure that he doesn't go through it. So I disagree with Steve there, but I see his point of the times now, and every challenge on the pitch will be read in slow motion at the VAR bus. So we have to do something with that, or we will discuss this every day of the year. Mm.
Shaka, what do you think? Did the FA get it right, rescinding the red?
No, they got it right in rescinding the red. I never saw that as being a red card in the first place. I think it kind of lends into some ridiculous decisions that we've seen of late. You saw Inigo Martinez for Spain against Greece concede a penalty under similar circumstances, clearing the ball and then catching the man with the follow-through. I thought that was a ridiculous decision then. And the Balbuena... clearance, in my opinion, how you look at that as a football person and see that as a red, I'm not sure. I don't agree at all with Steve.
Well, I'll tell you how I know it is, because I did it myself. I knew exactly what I was doing. I was following through with my right peg, and I made sure my whole body and the other one followed through and caught him as well. So I knew exactly what I was doing, Shaka. I was completely calculated in it, as was Balbuena.
So hold on. So Balbuena's challenge is a red card.
Absolutely.
Because your challenge was a red card?
I'm talking, okay, you know, I started off answering Seb's question with, we need people in the VAR box who understand football players and what's going through their mind in certain situations. And I'm telling you that certain situation I looked at with Balbuena, I've done it myself. I've done exactly the same. I knew exactly what I was doing. I was getting the ball and I made sure I was getting whoever it was who was standing in front of me by throwing my whole body, including my left peg, right onto it. So how I know it's a red.
To be fair, Stevie, yours was probably a red because there was at least an extra £35 of tonnage in the challenge compared to Balbuena.
Yeah.
But it's a fair point. It's interesting that the fair point that Steve is saying that, well, he's going for, from his point of view, what he used to do back in the days. But first of all, now they do it differently now. And then his best argument, and I'm also speaking for the referee, his best argument can't be that happened like 30 years ago. So this is the rules of today. And then the more interesting discussion is how we use VAR. That is the most interesting thing. And still, we could argue about the intention of the player, that Balbuena will do the same that Steve Nicol, like, Was it 30 years ago? Was that kinder?
It makes no difference whether it was 30 years ago or 30 seconds ago. I'm telling you the intent of the player and what's going through his head. So that makes no difference whether it was 30 years ago or last week when Balbuena did it. And that's the point I'm making about having somebody in the VAR box who actually understands what's going through their brain. So whether it was 30 years ago makes no difference.
No. I'm not meaning that it should be different because it was 30 years ago. But you have to play, and you're acting in the days of 2021. You know how the referees are. You know that there are no people in the VAR bus who don't understand football. Then that action will then be judged differently than it was 30 years ago. That was my main point.
Craig, do we need a football person in the VAR truck?
Yes,
Mike. Well, the problem is as we know, most football people, if you want to call them that, have got an affiliation to certain teams. And that's patently obvious even with people in our business. So where do you draw the line? Because there's not going to be any objectivity. Even if they say, well, we will. No, we won't make a decision based on the teams we played for and all that. So you just can't do it. The problem is, and Stevie said, he knew he tried that because he knew he had the intent. The word intent is very difficult to challenge in any sense, whether it be legally or a referee VAR challenge, because some challenges, you know, there is clear intent because there are nowhere near the ball, right? And there are others like this one that was debatable. Stevie thinks it was. Most think it wasn't. But trying to prove intent in a challenge like that is almost impossible because he cleared the ball. If you make a challenge and the ball's 2 or 3 yards away and you're knee high, then it's crystal clear. But I think when the powers that be look at this, then the difficulty and I think the reason that they rescinded it was you just can't say that there was an intent from Balbuena to hurt an opponent, because that's impossible to prove, and that's probably the main reason that they rescinded this.
I mean, it shows you how much divided opinion this is, Stevie. We got four people here, and you guys can't agree. You and Don were going back and forth for 10 minutes on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it probably wouldn't help the people in the VAR booth to have just an argument over it. There's no concise answer here.
Well, that's not much of an argument for not having somebody in the box, is it? You know, you've already got people in the box.
This challenge, we've argued about it for 3 days
now. No, but it's not much of an argument to say not to do it, because you've already got people in the box that don't know what they're looking at. So that doesn't...
Jan?
You could put people in the bus. I mean, you would still have 2 or 3 referees there. So you could have a player, and I take the point from Craig that maybe Manchester United will go after and make the decision for Manchester United. They had a problem at the beginning of VAR in Germany. They have to fire the guy who was head of there because they thought he was a Schalke fan. Didn't help him much this year, if you've been there, to be fair. But you have different opinions. I think that you could have in the bus that you have one who will have a football background, and then you still will have 2 or 3 others that will just sit there and have their big book of rules going through the mind. So maybe they can put that into their discussion. So silly things don't happen more or less all the time when you only go after the rules. But a hard thing is to prove intention. I mean, you can't go into someone's brain, can you?
Nope. I don't think so. Plenty more from the boys over on the ESPN FC YouTube channel. Join the over 900,000 subscribers. Plenty of bonus material over there, including extra time and Shaka's power rankings.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Chelsea reportedly willing to offload Tammy Abraham this summer. The 23-year-old with 6 goals so far this season, 21 Premier League appearances, though 9 of those have come off the bench. Shaka, Craig, Jan, and Stevie still with us. Craig, he did score 15 Premier League goals last year, just a 22-year-old. Is it too soon for Chelsea to part ways with Tammy Abraham?
Well, it's a difficult one because I do think at that club in particular, who've got a reputation for making a lot of signings, and we saw that last year in the summer with all the attacking players they brought in, that the difficulty is getting game time, which is why we're talking about him, because he struggled. I think he superseded expectations when he stepped up from the loan spell at Aston Villa in the Championship. He has done a good job whenever he's been in the team, but I think ultimately he's probably going to find himself as a bit part there at Chelsea. And so then as a player, you've got to make a decision and what's the best thing to do. So, you know, it comes down to what the board want to do and what the manager want to do. I don't think in any way, shape or form, even though Timo Werner has struggled for form, that you can point the finger at Thomas Tuchel, because at the end of the day, so far he's taken Chelsea into the top four, which was the criteria when he took the job. And they're in the driving seat, to a sense, in the semi-final of the Champions League. So there's no real comeback here against the manager. It's not as if they're struggling. They've been rock solid under his stewardship.
Jan, as far as Timo Werner is concerned, are you surprised with just how patient Thomas Tuchel has been with the German striker?
No, not really, because he has, like Craig said, he's been successfully doing what he's doing. And I mean, Timo Werner has a reputation in Germany as well that he could have spells, he could miss spells without scoring goals, he could miss big chances, as he's shown in England. But I think that in a normal season and adjustable into a season, Timo Werner could do good for Chelsea. Remember that all these young kids at Chelsea got their chance at the time when Chelsea couldn't sign any players, so they had to go on the young kids, and some of them developed very well. I think that's one of the criteria as well for Tuchel when he took over Chelsea. Yes, success was the main thing, but I think that's also one of the criteria was to fix Timo Werner and Kai Havertz, two Germans that he knew very well. And like Craig said, how can you criticize Thomas Tuchel? He's using them. He used Timo Werner. He criticized him after the games. You have to take that chance that he had against Real Madrid. And Tammy Abraham, when you play for Chelsea Football Club, you will have spells like that. And I think that he should be patient. I think that he got all the skills in the world. And Thomas Tuchel, give him a pre-season now. See then, coming to August, September, what kind of chances you will get with Thomas Tuchel. And then take it from there before you knock on the manager's door and want to leave the club.
Shaka, real quick on Tammy Abraham. Do you think he's been given enough opportunity at Chelsea?
No, he hasn't. If you just look at the pure numbers, Timo Werner has played over twice the minutes that Tammy Abraham has. He's got 2 goals more in all competitions. So if you want to just draw a like-for-like comparison, absolutely not. But at the same time, Tammy Abraham, as of this summer, will have 2 months left on his contract. Chelsea, extensive investment in the likes of Werner. So you understand the decision that they make.
Abraham?
That's my dog.
Or Werner, who are you taking, Stevie? Who did the dog weigh in on there?
It's not the dog. Tammy Abraham has to realise that Tommy Tuchel doesn't play a centre-forward who's going to hold the ball up or who's going to run in the channels. That's not how Tuchel wants to play. He wants it to be smooth from back through middle to front. He wants interchanging parts, particularly up front with the front three.
So it's not that Abraham's not good enough. You're just saying it's not a fit.
It's not a fit.
Okay.
No, every time a new manager comes in, everybody goes, I wonder if this guy's going to fancy me or do I suit him? Mm. And clearly, Tammy doesn't suit him.
Mm. We've heard that they're going after Erling Haaland. You don't believe that for Chelsea?
Well, you're
He'd be that nine through the middle.
We're talking about a guy that can do everything.
Okay.
So it's a no-brainer.
Right.
Tammy Abraham or not.
Really?
Absolutely.
Would it be a good fit, Jan?
Erling Haaland, it would be a good fit for any club. So, but the thing is that we'll see where he will end up. I think it's most likely that he will stay in Dortmund. They're 1 point ahead, away from the Champions League, playing semi-final tomorrow. So they can somehow save their season. And I think that it is most likely that Erling Haaland will stay at Borussia Dortmund.
A plenty more.
Sebi.
Yes, my Craig,
oh,
yes.
I was just going to say, you're having a bad day at the office.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for that. You can hear more about my bad day at the office over on the website, where you can download the podcast, the audio version of Sebi's bad day at the office. And make sure to check out ESPN.com, our website, with the latest from Mark Ogden, who spoke with Troy Townsend of the Kick It Out anti-racism campaign. Of course, the article highlights the latest efforts, a social media boycott across English football for the upcoming weekend. And of course, Stevia, as part of that boycott, obviously we get our questions for Extra Time from Twitter. So we'll be taking a break from Extra Time through the weekend in a show of solidarity. All right, that's all the time we've got for this edition of ESPN FC. Thanks to everyone involved. For Stevie, I'm Seb. Thanks to you for watching. See you next time.